Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. Thirdly, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. And my PDF book, Limited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. I'm so delighted and excited about all of these books which I've written because they're part of my soul collection in empowering the human spirit and so that individuals can move on to their greatness, because I believe that individuals should tap into the greater person that's inside. A lot of times it's hiding and laying dormant because of the past, because of what they've encountered, because of what you've gone through. You've hindered yourself from becoming magnificent and glorious. So I invite you to go to my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and peruse through the pages, and hopefully you will find something to encourage you and inspire you, and also pass it along to a friend. I have my co-host, Shirley Card, on the line. Shirley, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am also an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and author as well. My book, the first one I released as an e-book, is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. I'd like to invite you to my website at shirleymcarter.com, and you can, you know, follow the link there to order my book as well, or you can go to bondsandnobles.com and order it from there. Thank you for joining us this evening. And I'm looking forward to an exciting show tonight.
Yes, last week I was talking about surviving the past, and I read some excerpts from my book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And one of the things I mentioned, Shirley, to the listening audience is that wherever we find ourselves right now, this particular moment in time, we made an appointment to be there, whether it be good or bad. And also, I've often said that, you know, although I've had some turbulent times in my life, that I would not change anything because it has cultivated me and made me into the individual that I am now. I know what it is to want and desire to be somebody and do something and not know how to get started. I know how it is to be homeless because I've been homeless. I know what it is to be hungry and have children and worry about how I'm going to feed them and cook and make sure they eat. And sometimes I eat nothing because I wanted to make sure they ate. I know what it is to, you know, have my car repossessed. I know how it is to not know where the next dollar was coming from. But all of these things have made me who I am today and allowed me to be able to tap into that inner me, that inner part of me, which, you know, God gives us all a power point that ejects when we're in the midst of adversity sometimes. You want to know what you're made of? Go through something. You want to know if you're a survivor? Be put in a situation where you have to fight your way out. It's a fight to the bitter end. And know one thing, that whatever adversities, whatever situation you're in right now, it is a season. And seasons do change. Sometimes we have to change the season. You know, we have to put a shift in the atmosphere in order to move to the next level. And that's what has happened throughout my journey these 50-plus years on the planet. I'm so happy and ecstatic to be here because I am here in the midst of individuals that are so powerful, so magnificent. Shirley, you've written your book this year. That was on your to-do list for a couple of years, but you finally did it, and I'm so excited about your new project. You want to speak more about that, Shirley?
Yes, that project is, you know, it was a project that I just dove into it, you know, because, you know, it's been burning inside of me to write a book. And I started other books but have not completed them. And then this book came to me. It was like the Lord said, this is the one, do this one now. And when you are at a point in your life when you're ready to do what your, you know, your purpose is, you can't put it down. You can't put it to the side. You have to do it. And that book was something that I wasn't planning on writing that book. I was busy working on my other book, which I've been working on for years, along with a cousin of mine, and, you know, work on it, stop, work on it, stop. And then it was like, this one came to me, and it was like the Lord said, this is the time for this. And, you know, a part of me wanted to say, no, I got to finish this. I've been working on this all this time. I need to finish this first. But it just flowed. And when I say it flowed, it's like I have to step back and some days and reread what I wrote and didn't even remember writing that part and say, well, where did that come from? But I didn't change it because I felt like God had, you know, guided me through completing that part. And it's so fitting to our show tonight, surviving, you know, when you're at a certain point in your life and that survivorship. Because personally myself, I'm a survivor of a lot of things too. And it's so, you know, Val and our spirits are like kindred spirits. I too have been homeless, and I can identify with having children and, you know, feeding them and not feeding yourself. But my situation, I called it a self-proclaimed person. I put myself in that situation because of some of the things, the choices that I made in life, like using substance, you know, getting into substance abuse. I'm also a survivor of domestic violence, but I'm also a cancer survivor. But in being a survivor in moving forward in your life, I look back now at my life, Val, and I say, I never dreamed I would be doing some of the things that I'm doing now, like being on the radio. Are you serious? Having a radio show? And being an author, being an entrepreneur, all when I look 20 years back, I don't see that. I saw myself still in that 9-to-5, in a marriage, didn't know where it was going to go. And what do I do with my life? Because all the things that was taking place and changes in my life and watching my children, I was content with the fact that, okay, I'm going to make this marriage work regardless of what. My children are going to get grown, and, you know, I'm going to get to see my grandkids and play with the grandkids, not knowing that God had some other plans for me, like being the entrepreneur that I've dreamed of when I was in high school, writing a book, like I said, being on the radio, being involved in so many other community projects and stuff, and still standing, surviving in spite of the adversities and the difficulties and the knockdowns and pickups, but standing strong, being a testimony instead of being a victim. I turned that victim into someone that can testify and say, you can still stand strong and you can still move forward and you can still hold your head up and you can still smile in the face of adversity and be successful. Val, you know, your story, and this is something about your story that really I feel needs to be like some type of plaque or something. Because when, you know, with your picture, and don't get mad at me when I say this, if you look, if those of you who have never seen her, she's a little petite something, but she's a little firecracker. If you can mold you and put you in a statue and put the accomplishments that you have accomplished, you could be that next anchor person for women who are fighting to survive. And this is the face of survival. A little firecracker, but got a powerful punch. That can go a long way.
Aw, you're so sweet, Shirley Carter.
But you are. I have to tell you sometimes, I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, I know. You always say, I am not scared of you, Valerie Parker. But, you know,
individuals like you and Dr. Lavinia Allen and Eloise Frazier, Sylvia Donovan, Melba Spears, Denora Wims. These are individuals that have been with me when things were rough and when tears were running down and say, okay, it's okay. You just keep it moving. And, you know, I can show my flaws and you still love me the same. I was picking up because one of the things, I do not like to hear myself talk. These radio shows are recorded, so those of you that are listening and find it to be inspirational to you, you can forward them to individuals that you may know, and hopefully it'll encourage and inspire them. But I don't like listening to myself. I have a CD out called From Pain to Power. I recorded that CD, and it's a couple of years old, and I may have listened to it two times. I never listen to any of the shows that I've done. I've done over a year, and thank you so much to my listening audience, because in the past year, over 38,000 shows have been replayed. One show or another has been replayed, so it made my replay count like 38,000 people. I find that to be an awesome thing for someone like myself to have come from where I came from to be on this platform that I am. And I was looking through my book now. I've written 4 books. And when writing the books, I would get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and just write, because in that time of mourning, there's a different spirit about me. There's a sweet presence. The Lord is alive and speaking that time of morning for me. I don't know what it is, but when he wakes me up and when he talks and guides me through, because I always ask God for direction each and every day, you know, to order my footsteps so that I can make a contribution that is profitable, you know, for my family and encouraging and inspiring to individuals. I want to always impact somebody's life. And I began flipping through the pages of Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And I wrote this excerpt in here. I've gained a new level of respect for myself. Yes, it had to begin with me. I had to forgive myself for my mistakes and embrace life and say, okay, God, here I am. Do with me what you will. I see individuals in a whole new light now. When you're on the outside looking in, situations seem a whole lot different. But when you have gone through some things, you understand the routes many have taken in life. I used to say I would never be caught up in certain situations, but time has a way of proving you wrong at times. And I read through that, and I was like, wow, this falls in line with surviving the past, you know, forgiving yourself from where you've been. You can't redeem the time. You can't turn back the clock. If we could, everybody would turn back the clock, because there's always going to be something about our lives that we were uncomfortable about, something in our lives that we despise and almost fall up in a fetal position, can't believe we did something or went through something. But we survived. We're still here. And what we do with that time that we're here on the planet is what's going to determine our outcome in the future, because, as I always say, almost every show I'm led to say this, our lives are never about us. It's about what God wants to do through us to impact and touch somebody else's life. Too many people are going through situations. Too many people are going through changes. And we may be that lamp to help individuals break through and get that freedom and security that they need. I have some callers holding. Caller ending in 5571, are you there? Caller ending in 5571, are you there?
Hi, this is Glenda. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. I'm good. Who's on the line?
This is Glenda Linton, author for Shoes on the Wrong Foot.
Glenda, Gigi, listen, yes. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you ladies doing tonight?
I'm great.
I am well.
Okay.
Oh, well, B, that you called in and you're on the line, I know the listening audience are in for a treat because you are an amazing woman. I had the opportunity of meeting Glenda, nicknamed Gigi Linton,
yes,
at an event here. And, I mean, we automatically clicked. She's an author, and she's a motivational, inspirational speaker as well, and she's traveled the country, and she's a survivor. You know, we're all ex-something, you know, ex-liars.
Yes.
If you're not an ex-dope dealer, prostitute, then you're an ex-liar because everybody's lied.
And that is the truth.
We're all an ex something. If we're still breathing, we are ex something. So
absolutely,
I'm excited to have you in here. We're talking about surviving the past. So, Glenda, if you would,
mm-hmm,
I know you've written a book, or if you have something you want to share with the audience, you may do so.
Well, I'm listening to both of you and Shirley talking, and our lives are so similar because I, too, am a survivor of domestic violence. I was in a pretty bad marriage, and I, too, would sacrifice eating myself to make sure that my children had. I spent many a night in the dark because my husband chose to spend money elsewhere and didn't care that the family was actually in the dark month after month. Not to mention that I made good money, but because he chose to do other things with it and then pretty much backed me into a corner where I allowed it because I just didn't want to have to deal with the confrontation and have my children experiencing that kind of outburst. I tried to shield them from that. So I just took a lot of the stuff that was, you know, hurled at me and just allowed him to just run over us, run through our finances, you know, from a point where, you know, you had money in your 401K, you had, you know, savings that you never even touched, you had credit that you could just get anything you wanted at a moment's notice, to when I finally decided to divorce him, that I needed a co-signer just to get a bag of potato chips. He pretty much ran through everything I had, left me in bankruptcy court. I, too, experienced having my car repossessed, all because I just didn't know how to say no, and I chose to not confront him because, again, I'll say it, I did not want to have my children exposed to that kind of violence. So it was never physical, but verbal was enough. And it took me a while to build up the courage to get out of that situation. And I, too, I can say it, I'm an ex, but I am definitely a survivor. And life has been wonderful once I made that transition.
Amen.
How was it doing this shift? Because I know I've talked about, you know, the transitioning and having,
mm-hmm,
the courage to walk away and begin again. How was it for you?
Well, when I finally had enough, because, you know, people around you could say, I can't believe you're staying, I can't believe da-da-da. You have to wait until your cup is full, not when the people around you's cup is full. And once my cup became full, I took a day off, and I went to the beach when the children were in school, and I took a pad and pencil, I took a blanket, had a radio, and I took a book. And I sat down and wrote out the pros and cons of why I either stayed in the relationship or I left the relationship. And then on the back side of that piece of paper, I wrote down all of my expenses, everything. And then I wrote down how much I brought in each week for my paycheck. And then I made a decision that I needed to pay down X amount of things so that I would be able to provide for my children and myself, which covered housing, transportation, anything that we might need. Once I figured out what I needed to get rid of, like credit cards and weekly, you know, beauty shop visits and getting my hair and nails done and cable, I got rid of all of that stuff, and I got my finances just where I knew that I could take care of me and my children without him. Once I was at that point, I walked in and told him, it's a wrap. We're out. And he cried. He begged me not to go. You know, he loved his family. But every time he did things to me, all I would say to him was, okay, I got you. I understand. And I kept saying that because each time I said that, it was chipping away a little bit more and more of that love, that reason to try to hold on to that relationship. So when he had chipped away that there was nothing left, there was no connection between the two of us, and I could walk away without ever having to look back, that's what I did. Because once I walked out of that door, I never looked back, no much as a hug, no much as a phone call, because I needed to know. I wasn't going to be a mother that took my children out of the home and brought them back in and take them out and brought them back in. I stayed until I knew it was over. And that's how I made that transition.
Yeah, that's what I did, too. When I was done, I was done. I just, you know, it was as though, you know, that emotional tie was severed.
Exactly.
And that's what I say. Everybody has their level of enough, because I've heard people say, oh, I wouldn't take that, I wouldn't do that, just like I read excerpts from the book. You know, I've said some things that I would never do, but until you're in that situation.
Absolutely.
You have no idea. So how was Shoes on the Wrong Foot birth?
Shoes on the Wrong Foot was birthed by accident. I, doing my work.
And Shirley in your accidents.
Yeah, you know, No, I'm serious. I'm doing my work on the computer, and then you know how sometimes you just get tired of doing what you're doing, and then you just kind of drift off to something else. And I had a thought, and I just closed out what I was doing, and I opened up the Word document, and I just typed my thought on that page. And then I saved it. And then the next time that I had some profound thought or something that came to mind, like in the relationship, things that I had gone through that I kind of buried down, and then it comes up and then you remember it. And then I would write it down. I would open the same page up and I would write it down. And then looked at it one day and I'm like, oh, my God. And then you start, you know, placing this, you know, chronologically placing this over this. Oh, I remember when this happened. No, this happened first. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And before I knew it, I'm like, I can write a book. So I started to write the book. And then I said to my kids, I said, I'm going to write a book. And my oldest son was like, oh, my God, my mom's going to be an author. So he was telling his friends, oh, man, my old girl's going to be an author, man. He was so proud. But then a few months after that, he was murdered. So I couldn't do anything with the book. It wasn't even a thought for me. And months and months later, he came to me in a dream and he said, you know, Mom, he said, I'm okay. I'm happy. He said, I have a small heart. And he said, I don't have any room for hatred. He said, but the people who did this to me, they're going to get theirs. They're not going to even expect it when it happens. He said, but what about the book? And when I woke up that morning, because it was so real, the dream, spending that time with him was so real that I kept reliving the dream. And then I remembered him asking about the book, and I said, he wants me to finish this book. And that's when I found my peace. And I turned my focus back to writing the book, and I poured myself into it, and that was really the only way that I could handle the grief that I was feeling was through writing. And every time I would just get so emotional and crying, I would open my computer and I would just start writing. And a lot of the book has to do with my experiences in my relationship, but it also has to do with a lot of women that I have come in contact with and their relationships. So I just gave Cece, which is a fictional character, I just gave her all of our drama.
Well, you write in line, because all this drama they have on television and stuff, that book should be doing really well.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's doing good. We're making the rounds on it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I've actually been approached.
Go ahead.
No, I said I've actually been approached about possibly even turning it into a movie. So.
Oh wow.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
I can believe it. I can believe it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, the world has an appetite for drama.
Mm-hmm. Boy, poor Cece. Now, I'm working on the second book. The first book is just to whet the appetite. The second book is crazy.
It's wonderful.
It's going to be awesome.
Now, let me ask you this, Gigi. When you were writing the book, you said that it was because you wanted to honor your son and complete the book because he was so excited about it.
Yeah.
How do you think your temperament for the second book will be different from this first?
I don't know if it'll be any different. I think now that the first book has been out there and it's been so well received, and I just feel that he is so proud of that first book that he wants to see me succeed in the second book. So that's really my motivation, because I'm telling you, if you could have seen his face and every time he talked to his friends about me writing the book and being an author, there's no greater pride that he, you know, he showed me. And it was that love that he had because he believed in me when I really was like, wait a minute, I was just kind of throwing that out. That wasn't serious, you know, because I never believed that I could actually write a book. It was just always something that I thought that, you know, it would be great if I could do it, but I never believed that I would actually complete the book. Now, I will say this. Had he not died, I don't know if I would have completed the book. Because I would have allowed doubt. I would have allowed doubt to rule out ever completing it, because I didn't believe that I could do it. I mean, I said it. I just didn't believe that it would ever be something that would come to fruition.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How was it surviving after that tragedy? I'm asking, I know it's kind of still tender regardless of how long it is, but we're talking about surviving the past, and I know when I talk about my exit doing the domestic violence, because I remember, Gigi, the day that I was going for my divorce, I tell you, walking down that hallway seemed like the longest walk I ever took in my life. When I got ready to turn that knob to open the door, and I just crumbled because it seemed like everything I had experienced for the whole 19 years just came full circle, and I just collapsed. So, you know, I still, when I'm remembering and telling that story, I get a little emotional about that as well, because of the fact that, you know, it's part of where I was, but it's not where I am. I've excelled and moved on so far from that time, for that space, but it's just yet tender. You know, like people say, oh, I forgive you, but I won't forget it. That's basically
right. Well, I could tell you my faith in God and the Bible and my church is what helped me get through this without totally just not being a functioning adult, because I still have two sons that I have to live for. And the four of us, after my divorce, it was always just the four of us. We were a solid team. Even now, it's just three of us. We're still a solid team. But we have that faith. And I know the God that I served couldn't put any more in me than I could handle. And I knew that he knew I could handle this. As hard as it was, and
as devastating as it was, because my son, I believe in all my heart, is the victim of domestic violence, because all of this happened because he was breaking up with a young lady who did not want to let him go, and she told him as much. They have not made an arrest yet, but I do in my heart of hearts believe she had something to do with his death.
Wow.
Because he had said the night before that he was done. He was over with, he wasn't going back. That was the end of it. And he just couldn't handle her fighting all the time, the arguing, the following him around. When he goes to sleep, she was going through his wallet, you know, taking out the SIM card out of his phone, calling his friends. And he said he had just had enough. And the next night he was dead. So I know in my heart that she had something to do with it. So he, too, is a victim of domestic violence.
How old was he, Gigi?
He was 33.
Wow. You look like a baby yourself.
Somebody told me that Saturday night I was at a makeup party, and they was like, how old are you, like in your early or late 30s? I said, how? I said, my baby, my son, Corey, would have been 38. No, I'm sorry, 36.
Wow, like I said, you look like a baby. I mean, my daughter's 30, but, you know, you see, you know, one magnificent thing about our God we serve is, you know, we get up with the abilities and our limbs. Every now and then it needs a little oil and a little greasing, but his grace and mercy has kept us.
Absolutely. It's only through his grace and mercy every day.
Absolutely. Now, Gigi, how can they order your book or find out more about you, see where you're speaking? Because I know you do quite a bit of traveling yourself.
Yes, I do. I just shut down my website because I'm having it redone. But I do have a Facebook page. Shoes on the Wrong Foot is my Facebook page. I also have my Facebook page, which is Author Glenda Gamble Linton. My book can be purchased on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's Nook, Kindle Ready, and all e-readers. So it's out there.
Okay, now Facebook is called what?
Shoes on the Wrong Foot is my book page. And then my page is Author Glenda Gamble Linton.
Oh, okay, I found Shoes on the Wrong Foot. Okay, because I was looking for it, and I was like, what is it again? Yeah, so I invite you listening audience to go to Shoes on the Wrong Foot on Facebook, and you will be able to see where she's going because she posts different things, and also you go on Facebook and find From the Soul of a Woman and click on that page, and it will take you to My Soul of a Woman site on Facebook. I keep forgetting I have one, and also Valerie Parker is on Facebook, and Shirley Carter is on Facebook, so you can always find us and see what we're talking about, what we're thinking, what we're saying on Facebook, as well as my email. So I also invite you to go to my website, FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com, and sign up there to be on my newsletters, and you'll be able to get information on a weekly basis, some motivational, inspirational things for you. Thank you so much for joining and also sharing with us, Gigi, your story.
Thank you.
And I thank you so much for surviving the past so that you can be able to impart into so many individuals' lives, not just women, but men too.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, they, you know, just like you said, your son, he was a nice young man. He was raised well and, you know, tried to stay with an individual, you know, just, you know, to keep from leaving her, being devastated, but then he couldn't take it anymore, and he was trying to make an exit strategy, and it cost him his life. But
yeah.
I thank you for your fight.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, and give that information once again for you, Gigi.
Amazon.com for Shoes on the Wrong Foot is also with Barnes and Noble. It's ebook ready, Nook and Kindle, and all e-readers.
Oh, I'm scared of you. I'm in the midst of redoing Soul of a Woman. Thank you to all my fans and supporters. I've sold over 10,000 copies of From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Yay!
Wow, yay. Wonderful.
Yes, so
one day I can see that.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. And I'm doing, I'm actually going to redo that book because I have to reprint. So I'm going to do a second edition, and it will include some more individuals. Because, you know, as we grow, we're able to be stronger in that growth, and you're able to be more transparent to share so that it can inspire individuals. And I've been finding that, you know, each year or month that goes by, I feel myself stronger where I'm able to do that. And it has been able to reach and save and help individuals' lives.
Beautiful.
Thank you once again for joining us, Gigi.
Thank you.
I have another caller holding. Caller ending in 2175. You're live.
Hi, this is Marie. I really have enjoyed everything that you all have said, and I understand about a son being in the violence also, because my only son, he left me in 1991, and he was like 16 years old.
Wow.
But I do have a granddaughter that he died like in 91, and she was born in 92, and she's like 20 years old now, and we get along, you know, okay, you know, every now and then she'll call me, and every now and then I'll call her. But it's not a close relationship because I didn't get the chance to, you know, be with her as a baby, you know, from a baby. But I, too, am in the, you know, the violence, you know, with my husband. We haven't got a legal separation yet, and we're not divorced yet. But the thing is that it hurts every time he come around because it's like, you know, am I going to get rid of this, you know, am I going to get over this, you know, because I'm still meeting him in certain spots, you know, and it bothers me a lot, you know, but I have been doing better since he's been gone, though. I have been doing much better. I look better, I act better, I'm more happier. And things are really catching up, you know. And, like, Christmas morning, Mr. Greg Shear had called me and asked me to help him with the Greg Shear show. And I just left from Orlando, which the show was real nice. His CD will be releasing May the 17th. So this is something that's going to keep me a little busy, you know, by being with him. And like I said, you know, in the violence, it's real hard sometimes, but to look back, you know, I just give God all the praise and still, because he's worthy to be praised. And I just thank God for everything, for the good and for the bad, you know. Sometimes I look at it as bad, but God don't look at it as bad, you know. So I understand everything that you all are saying, and I do want to write a book because it just makes me jealous every time I get on. Because I do need a book, you know, because of the things that, and this is my fourth marriage. So
wow.
Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you so much. You know, one thing about Hot Topics from the Soul is to encourage, enlighten, inspire, and motivate individuals to be better. And, you know, I wrote on my Facebook page, so those of you that listen, you know, request me on Facebook. I wrote today, "Who I'm not who I was." Let's see how it goes. Because I got up with this in my spirit, and I was like, I'm not who I was yesterday. I'm somebody different, but let me read it. I think I better go there because that. But who I was then is not who I am now. Don't allow your past to define you. However, use your past to make you better. That's what I got up and read. I told you I function better in the wee mornings when God is speaking and I'm laying there communing with Him. And that's what came out this morning, and I posted it on Facebook because I'm nothing like how I was. You know, I'm nothing like how I was in elementary school, junior high school, the college I had, through the dates, through the marriages. I'm not the same person I was yesterday. I'm ever evolving, ever coming in the knowledge of truth, ever walking in the wisdom and the light that God has given me. I'm learning and doing different things. You know, regardless of how old you are, you learn. And one of the things we must do is educate ourselves, read and listen to other people like Shirley Carter, Gigi Linton, and Marie, that have something to say, that have been somewhere, that have some wisdom, some nuggets to drop in and impart into your spirit so that you can, what, take that along, digest it, and then bless somebody else with it. This is what life is all about. This is, it's a cycle, it's a circle, a never-ending circle if we allow it to be. I have a caller holding on 6362. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Allen.
Hello.
How's everybody?
Wonderful. How are you?
Here. Doing wonderful.
Survived our past. Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm just sitting here listening, and it's just so amazing that, you know, it's how our lives have so many things that are so similar, and yet we're all so different. You know, I'm sitting, I'm just totally amazed because, you know, I have also written a book, and thanks to you, Dr. Parker, you were the one who really inspired me to write the book. You know, for years I went around and gave my testimony and so forth, but I never thought of putting it, you know, in a book. So, I have to thank you for that. But as I've shared with the audience in the past, that I was a teenage mother. You know, actually I had my first child when I was 14 years old, and by the age of 17 I had three children. I went through a divorce that was so very painful. You know, I separated, but my divorce was not painful, you know, and my husband really was not physically abusive. And at the time when we separated, I didn't even consider it as being abusive. I just considered him as being a whore. So, I didn't know that terminology, we just wasn't using it at the time. You know, he was doing his thing, and then I became upset with him, and I just told him, I think you're very stupid. Let me show you how to do it. So, it was like tit for tat, and it's not something that I'm very proud of, but it's something that I did, you know. And in terms of me having the children and so forth, you know, I lived a life of deception for many, 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 many years because, you know, I never had that enjoyment of saying, you know, like my kids, you know, talking about my children and so forth. People knew that I had children, but I never had that enjoyment, you know, where you say, okay, my child is doing this, my child is this age. I always said, you know, like they are young or they're teenagers now or they're young adults. I never gave ages and I never gave my age, you know, but it was not until after I became saved that I actually was able to express myself, able to come out, and it's like coming out, you know, because people never knew anything about my age or anything, or the age of my children. They just saw them growing. I never bragged on them, never, ever, ever. And I can identify with the mother who says she lost her son. That son that I lost my son also, the child that I had when I was 14. I lost him. And when I hear parents say, you know, I lost a child and it wasn't, you know, and the only way I got through it was because of the grace of God and how, you know, they were able to pray and so forth. You know, sometimes I listen to them and I feel a little bit of envy because when I lost my child, the only thing I could feel was hate. I mean, it's like I actually was angry with God, and I did not pray. And I didn't want, and, you know, I guess people prayed for me, but I really never asked anybody to pray for me because at that particular time, I was so angry with God, I could not believe that he allowed me to have a child at 14, and then he turned around and take him. So, you know, I never experienced it. But now when I look back over my life and I look at all the things that I've gone through, all the things that he has brought me through, you know, I can look back now and say, you know what, it was nothing but his grace, absolutely nothing but his grace, because during the time when my son got shot, I was actually there. You know, he and I was walking out of the store together. Our arms were surrounded one another. One bullet went through my jacket, and the other bullet went through his back. You know, it could have been me as well. So, and there have just been so many things that I can look back and say, well, you know what, it's nothing but the grace of God. But, you know, when we think about our past and surviving our past, we are still here because, you know what, our purpose has not been completed. God knew, I mean, he knew when he was keeping me, he knew that he had a purpose for my life. And he knew that he was going to one day use me. He knew that one day I was going to participate in this thing that we call salvation. He knew that. And this is why he kept me, and this is why I'm still here, because you know what? I have not completed my assignment. You know, when I listened to Shirley, and she never thought she would be on radio. Well, guess what? I never thought I'd be on radio either. I never dreamed I would even write a book. I never thought I would be traveling from country to country, not just state to state, but I never thought I would be traveling from country to country. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, who would have thought it? Lavinia Cook, 14-year-old. High school dropout, now a doctor's degree. Who would you believe that? That's nothing but God. That is nothing but God. So, you know, yes, I can identify with surviving the past, but you know what? We need that past, you know, to be able to push us forward. You know, it's like that push. When we look back where we came from, you know, we know that, you know, there's so much more that God has for us. I'm just in awe at what God has done in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, my journey has brought me to all of you great, magnificent women that are supporting Hot Topics from the Soul. I was talking to my dear friend Courtney, and I was saying to Courtney out of California, and I was saying to her, that I was going to continue the show tonight on surviving the past. And she was like, okay, you know, I always call my sisters queens because I believe that you're great and magnificent. And I said, yeah, last week it was kind of rough, And so many people were calling in and texting me and emailing saying we couldn't get on the show, we couldn't get on. So that made me feel so good to know that I have such supporters that look for me every week. They hear what I have to say. I'm in awe with the surroundings of my queen. We're soon wrapping up the show, but if you can, in 2 minutes, Dr. Allen, tell me about the transition, about the transition you made into who you are now versus all the adversities of being a teenage parent. How did you override that to fight to go back to school and get your degrees and raise your children? How was that? Because I know that there's some sisters there saying, hey, I just can't do it. I just don't know where to start.
Well, you know, Dr. Parker, you know, one of the things I always have to say that, you know, I give my mother, you know, I have to give her just so much credit because, you know what, through it all, my mother was always there. My mother always believed in me. And, you know, at the time when I became pregnant, there was, you know, it was like a disgrace. You know, that was like a moral sin, and people really looked on you as being, you know, morally corrupt when you became pregnant at that age. And by the grace of God, I was able to return to school after, you know, moving to New York. I was able to return to school, and with my mother's encouragement, I was able to complete my education. You know, when I became pregnant, I was an honor student. So, you know, being able to return to school, it wasn't difficult, you know, for me to be able to go back and be able to excel in my classes and so forth. And then I had my mother's support in helping me with my children as well. So, you know, like I had that family support, you know, my sisters and my brothers, they were all there to help me make that transition. However, I mean, during that time of, you know, going to school and so forth, it's like I had, like, lost it for a while because I was like a wild woman. Even though I was still going to school and I had these kids, I was still partying very hardy, very, 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 very hardy. And then after losing my son, it's like I went, like, completely crazy. You know, and I was just like out there. But through the grace of God, I mean, and I have to keep going back to that because it was Him that turned that. You know, I had to turn back to Him in order for me to get my life together. And you know, that I went like 20 years after losing my son, of not wanting to have anything to do with God. But I got to a point, Dr. Parker, where I had no place else to turn but to God. And with His, you know, with His grace and His love and His mercy, I was able to rededicate my life to the Lord. And, you know, when you do that, He will show you. I mean, you know, He waits around and He will show you what it is that He has, what His plans are for you. You know, but you have to be obedient and have to be willing to, like, okay, when He says, oh, Lavinia, this is what I want you to do. And you have to be obedient and do it. I mean, that's what it's all about. And this is how my life has changed. I mean, the transition has been unbelievable. I mean, people that knew me years and years and years ago, they can't believe the life that I'm living now. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of shocking to me because that's just, I cannot believe my life is what it is now. So, you know, it's all God. It's all about Him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. You know, I want to do a segment coming real soon. I want to have you, Dr. Allen, and Gigi, of course, Shirley will be there, and Courtney come on and talk about us as parents and raising our children, because there's such a disconnect with the parents and the children, because the parents' lives are so whacked out because they have not forgiven themselves from where they've been, and then they take it out on the children. and, you know, start blaming them for their failures and their shortcomings. So I want to talk with you ladies on a show coming up soon. I'll be posted regarding something regarding parents. I'm not quite sure, but if you just stay focused with me on Facebook and go on my website from thesoulofawoman.com so you can get on my mailing list, you'll know where that show is coming up. But I think it's something that the listeners need to hear. And because I know there are a lot of young people that are struggling. That's why I wrote the book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, because a lot of young people are going through emotional turmoil because of the way they're being treated by their parents, who are 99% of the time angry and frustrated with their own lives till they don't know how to parent. They don't know how to nurture or cultivate that child that's been brought into the world, and hopefully it will enlighten you. In closing, I'd like to read an excerpt from Unveiling Secrets from the Heart. This is my third book that I wrote. I have Malik Yoba that did the foreword. Les Brown did a chapter in it, Dwight Pleasure, Tawana Williams, Dr. Sean Patterson. But one of the passages I wrote in the book in closing, and I hope to hear you and see you online next Tuesday for Hot Topics from the Soul, and make sure you pass the show along to someone. And it reads, I have lived more than half of my life only to discover it was wrong. I was constantly fighting battles I didn't have to fight. Instead of letting go in many situations and accepting the change, I held on. I shed a lot of unnecessary tears because I wanted to do things my way instead of God's way. I wanted to love who I wanted to love, and I almost died trying to make that person love me back. I struggled and battled within my own mind and soul over things I could not change and needed to release, realizing that there was nothing I could do about it. Yesterday is gone, but tomorrow is a new day. We can rejoice in knowing, after reading this book, we have the power to change, because if we can look up, then we have the power to get up. We have the power to change the atmosphere. Okay. You have the power to change the atmosphere. Yes, it's going to be hard because none of us got into situations overnight and they won't be resolved with a blink of an eye. But I promise you that if you keep striving, believe in yourself by embracing a larger vision of yourself, forgive yourself and muster up a little faith, you will realize that all things are possible. If you just place your heart, your hand over your heart and listen to the power within, your heart is beating strong. It is vibrant like the beat of a drum. If you listen to the drummer within your soul, I know that you will be successful, and your success will benefit you as well as others. This is an excerpt from Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past and Free Your Future. So I invite you to go to my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. I have it as my book of the month. It's on sale for $10 and plus shipping. So I would ship it out to you priority mail. So please go and purchase that book and purchase one for someone else, because it's normally $20. So I'm doing it at half price. If you would go to my website from thesoulofwoman.com, you can get that, and I will ship it to you so you can have it within 2 days. Thank you so much. God bless and Godspeed. Good night.
Good night.